Peace be to you, dear church. We had a blessed opportunity last month to go on a retreat with our youth. And at this retreat, we were able to study God as a shepherd, a good shepherd. We talked about God being a shepherd who loves, cares, leads, and disciplines and protects his sheep. It was a great time spent in the Word, and it was a blessed time for our youth to grow in unity, and it was truly a blessed time. And today I'd like to share a part of that with you guys today. I want to talk about God as a good shepherd, one who protects his sheep, who preserves his sheep. Given the fact that I recently started a series on the attributes of God last year, I found it good to talk about God as a shepherd as well. In God, we place our trust, not in our abilities. Sheep are defenseless and in need of a protector. And David wrote in his most famous psalm, Psalm 23, that he is a good shepherd. He underlined God as one who protects him. And David, he understood the responsibility of a shepherd to protect the sheep, to preserve the sheep, to lead the sheep. And he in writing the psalm, he placed his trust in God, one who can protect him. He often made statements throughout the psalm, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me. He is with me. He comforts me. He restores me." Here we see David placing his trust in God as a good shepherd, given that we in and of ourselves can do nothing. David points to God as the provider, sustainer, and protector. That he knows that apart from the protection of God, he would either be lost, hungry, or killed, eaten, or all of the above. And today, I want to talk about that. Our main passage today is going to be in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, starting from verse 10. In today's message, I would like to encourage those of us who are the sheep of God, in this knowledge that he is protecting a sheep. And it's not because we deserve it, it's because he's gracious to us. I would like to talk about three things today. First point I'd like to make is all are in need of a Savior and protector. Second point is he protects his sheep. And third point, he is the only one who is able to do so. Today's message is very important to understand correctly, because if we misunderstand what is spoken today, it can lead us to a lot of confusion. And this has often happened throughout many churches throughout the world. So let us open to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. We're going to start from verse 10. So the first points, first things first, we are in need of a protector. John chapter 10, verses 10 to 11. "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd." Sheep are used as a metaphor throughout the Bible to illustrate that someone is either defenseless or unable to sustain themselves. Sheep do not exist apart from a shepherd. Wild sheep are extremely rare, and if there are wild sheep, they generally do not live very long. Because they do not have the protection of a shepherd. They would either be eaten, they're not fast enough to run, and they're not strong enough to fight. So this was a very fitting description of us without our father, without our shepherd. Upon occasion, it was used in the Old Testament to describe the Israel nation without their shepherd. In Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 5 to 6, God describes a nation, his chosen nation, that is lost without him. "They were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every hill." Sheep were often stolen by thieves. They were eaten by animals, or they would just generally wander off, not knowing where to go. And it is the shepherd's responsibility to keep that from happening. And if one were to go astray, aside from the fact that the sheep isn't the smartest of animals, we would turn to the shepherd because it is his responsibility to make sure that doesn't happen. And we would know that he failed. He did a poor job protecting the sheep. So when we read the Lord is a good shepherd, we know that he does his job well. And no sheep will go astray. He keeps the sheep safe. And if need be, he will chase down lions to rip the sheep out of their mouths, as David has done upon occasion. John chapter 10, verses 11 to 14. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. The thing is, sheep are incapable of saving themselves. And most importantly, we are all in grave danger. And the greatest danger that all of humanity faces is we stand in opposition to a righteous God. We stand as sinners, lawbreakers, transgressors against the law that God has made. We are in danger at the hand of a just God. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. All of us are in the grip of our own sin, dead in our sins, in need of a spiritual revival. We have rebelled against a God who is just and righteous and holy, who separates himself from sin. We have placed ourselves in opposition to a righteous God, and we need protection. We are incapable of saving ourselves, and so this good shepherd is willing to lay down his life for us. Only through the shepherd who lays down his life for us do we have salvation. He took his sins, the sins of all men onto himself. And God looked on him and poured out his just punishment on him on the cross. Yet somehow, there are people who believe that God will simply ignore their sin or look over their sin, look past their sin, not for a minute. The spotless, sinless Lamb of God suffered, bled, and died because of sin on our behalf, because of the wrath of God. This satisfaction of the righteous wrath of God, that is what was experienced on the cross. In Isaiah 53, we see that it pleased God to crush his son. There was a satisfaction of the payment. This is the greatest danger we all face, the greatest danger all of humanity faces. Isaiah 53, verse 5, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and by his wounds we are healed. So this shepherd, this good shepherd, has gone out to find and save those sheep. And he will not lead them into harm's way. His job is to preserve the sheep, to keep them safe, to keep them from perishing, to keep them from going astray. And when we say that, what do we mean? We mean, if it was possible to put themselves in opposition once again to a holy God. But we know that is not possible, and we will talk about that later throughout this discussion. He protects his sheep. This is our second point. He protects his sheep. Verses 27 to 29 of the same chapter. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. So in this passage, we see this personal relationship that Jesus has with his sheep. Not only did he seek them out and save them, but he's also willing to preserve them. Jesus knows his sheep, and his sheep know his voice. And he grants them eternal life through his sacrifice. The debt that he has paid on their behalf. and no one can snatch them out of his hand. Now, there's a common objection to this passage. People read it and they see no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand except yourself. You can snatch yourself out of the Father's hand, or somehow try to jump around this idea by saying no one is able to snatch you out of the hand of God, but you can walk out of his hand. Brothers and sisters, we must be very careful when we talk on this matter. God has adopted us and called us his own. To say that we can lose our salvation or walk out of his hand not only is saying that we can go against the will of God, not only is saying that we can, not saying that the Lord is a bad shepherd who can't keep track of his sheep, but we are also saying that he is a bad father who failed to raise his children. He failed to discipline them and he failed to lead them. But we know that is not the case. I mean, sheep, how many sheep did he lose? If it's possible for God to lose sheep, how many sheep did he lose? Thousands throughout the centuries? If he lost thousands, it's no longer possible to call him a good shepherd. But we know that is not the case. We know that he is good and he has not lost a single sheep. It is literally the shepherd's responsibility to not lose any sheep, to keep the sheep, to preserve the sheep. Now, this is just an argument from a logical standpoint. Let's just read a couple of passages. We know that God is the initiator of our salvation. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. This is a very important passage because it talks about God preserving. Philippians 1, 6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. He who began a good work in you will bring it to the completion at the day of Jesus Christ. The thing is, we are wicked. Our hearts are deceitful. And the whole Old Testament goes to show that mankind cannot save themselves, and let alone walk in purity. They cannot fulfill the law even if their life depended on it, which it did. Israel, the chosen nation of God, and despite God's constant interference, would choose other gods. David was a hero for many of us young guys, and suddenly we get to 2 Samuel chapter 11, and we're thinking, is that the same David? Is that the man after God's own heart that we placed for our hero? Our hearts are wicked and deceitful. We break the law of God every day. The greatest commandment is that we love God with all our heart, and there's not a single second where we have done that. Every second we live in sin. Apart from God's grace, we have nothing. As a well-known theologian once said, if we could lose our salvation, we would. Paul in this passage that we just read, Philippians 1:6, makes this argument that not only is God the initiator of our salvation, but he also sustains it through the Holy Spirit. He started the good work in you, and he will finish it. Romans chapter 8, verse 30. Those whom he had predestined, he also called. Those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Our names are written in the book of life before the foundations of the world. If your name is written, if you have been chosen, nothing is going to cancel the process. Here, it says, those who have been predestined are also called, and those who are called are justified. Justified means that you are cleansed by Christ. And if you have been justified, you are also glorified with God. Listen to that promise and cling to it. If you have been justified by Christ, there is this promise that you will also be glorified with him, considered as co-heirs with Christ. Cling to that promise. And one more passage I'd like to read. This is a weighty passage, but it is a great encouragement for us believers. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purposes of of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee, pay attention to that word, we're going to come back to that, who has the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory, until we acquire possession of it. So we are sealed in the Holy Spirit. A newborn believer receives the Holy Spirit, and this is where the transformation of his heart starts. This is where the new mind comes in. The things of the world that used to attract him are now not attracting him as much. And slowly his desires begin to change because this Holy Spirit is at work in him, as Paul talks about in Galatians. So once you become a Christian, those desires change. Now I'd like to take our attention to verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 1. The Holy Spirit is given to us as a guarantee of our inheritance. The Holy Spirit is given to us as a guarantee for our inheritance. Now, let's pay attention to this word guarantee. It's translated from the Greek word arabon, which was written in the original manuscripts. So this word arabon is a business term that we know nowadays to be considered earnest money or some form of down payment, earnest money. So what is earnest money? Earnest money is, let's say you're buying a house, and you come to the owner and say, I intend to buy this house. And you give him a contract, and you give him a check. That check is considered your earnest money. Basically, what you're saying by doing that is you're saying that if on closing day I don't come with the rest of the money, you can keep your house, and you can keep that check, that earnest money. So what does God put up as earnest money on our inheritance, on our salvation? Now, if you want, you could reread this passage again. But what does God put up for earnest money on our salvation? He says the Holy Spirit, a member of the Godhead. Now, Paul uses this to emphasize how impossible it is. So, essentially, if God doesn't carry out his promise, theoretically, he loses the Holy Spirit. Now, we know that doesn't happen. That's impossible. He can't lose the Holy Spirit because it's part of him. So what Paul is saying is so secure is your salvation, sealed by the Holy Spirit. God placed it, the Holy Spirit, as earnest money on your salvation, that if he doesn't fulfill this, as verse 14 says, if we do not acquire it, possession of it, he loses the Holy Spirit, which is impossible. So what Paul is saying so secure is your salvation that if you were to lose it, God would have to stop being God, which can never happen. Brothers and sisters, our God is not a God of uncertainty and confusion. It is not okay for us to go to sleep and not be assured and have this hope, cling to our hope in God. There's a whole book written for the assurance of our salvation. 1 John, all throughout that book we see, so that you may know that you are saved, so that you may know that you are of his flock. And at the end, in chapter 5 of 1 John, we see, this book I have written so that you may know. God wants us to be secured. This is the hope that we constantly rejoice in difficulty and trial and tribulation. So the question comes up, so what does this mean? Can we do whatever we want if we cannot lose our salvation? Absolutely. Well, keep in mind, a true believer has different desires. A true believer has different desires. New creation. He is a new creation, and he has new desires. He yearns to please God. So the real debate is not whether you can lose your salvation or not. The real debate is whether or not you are a Christian. When we see people leave this church, how do we react or abandon the faith? We know by the default that they were never Christian in the first place. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, they went out from us. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they are all are not of us. So basically, in this this blob of words, what John is saying here is, if they left, they were never Christians in the first place. Because if they were Christians, they would have stayed. True Christians are secure in the hands of God. The last point is this. This is the only shepherd that is capable to save, capable to preserve. God is the influencer, not the influence. He is in control of the whole world. Not a single condition can influence him and his promises. Nothing can get in between what God has promised and him. He is in control of all things. By that we know that he will fulfill his promises. He is an all-powerful shepherd. And when he says something, he will do it. In closing, if you are a true sheep, take comfort in the fact that you will never perish, and no one will separate you from the love of God. And any loss or trouble, you can have joy and peace in knowing that God is leading you in the good way. Everything that happens in your life is working together for your glory. If you are not a Christian, brothers and sisters, if you are not a Christian, you are defenseless against all the dangers of this life and eternal punishment in the life to come. Seek out the Lord. The Bible tells us he who seeks shall find. Seek out the Lord. We don't get to know everything in this life, but we do get to know the one who knows everything. Putting our faith in the only stable thing in the universe is the wisest thing that you can do and the most logical. In him we are saved. In him we are led. In him we are loved and cared for, occasionally disciplined. And in him we are safe and secure. May his name be praised forever. Amen. Let us pray.